Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You see, God is only going to give tribulation, meaning the great tribulation ultimately. That's why it's used as a word, because they think they're in it. He's going to go there and say, no, you're not in it, in chapter 2. But he keeps using the word over and over again because they think they're, yeah, it's hard. You're in tribulations, but it's not the tribulation. And what he's saying is he's saying the people who are lost because of what you're going through, they're going to see the righteous judgment of God. That you have tapped into the truth about who God is. That you have tapped into the truth and reality of what life is. Life is like a vapor that appears but for a little time and then vanishes away. No, he says this is something that the world looks at and they take note of when people suffer righteously. And they do it willingly, knowing that they are in God's hands. The Bible says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So where are you getting this song? It's through grace. And it says, wherein you stand. And rejoice, what is it? In hope of the glory of God. Not your glory, but the glory of God, that they will see God. Now, here we are. We're saved unto salvation, so other people can see it. And we're the poster children. And then he says, not only this, but we glory in tribulations, because tribulation works patience. Patience works experience. Experience, hope, and hope. Hope makes not ashamed. Hey, hope will make you unashamed. If you're out of work because you took a stand for the Lord Jesus, and they wouldn't keep you because now it's bad. Remember World War II, when they began to vilify a certain segment of their society and the Jewish people, and they would not, you know, frequent their establishments and their jobs and everything were lost. And many times everything they were building was taken from them. It got worse and worse. Turned darker and darker. They didn't have Jesus. We do. So people like Corrie Ten Boom go through, even lose their sister. Watched her sister die and be abused. And finds a song. And finds a voice. And becomes a testament to people in churches, saying it's already started in many subtle ways. Sit back and watch it all take place. Don't forget the price you pay. You know, the whole concept, we need to do something for Jesus. It's not about politics. It's about souls. What we're seeing right now is the country's being put in an upheaval, and our job is to get the word out. Because what? We greatly rejoice in this salvation, because it's the thing in the backpack that really will meet the need. And it's a coat of many colors. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, when it talks about be tried by fire, he's talking about gold that is absolutely pure. He's saying the gold that's tried by fire is something everybody wants. More gold. More money. Why? Because we tend to want to serve God or mammon. And if we serve mammon, that's money. Because mammon answers all things. If I have enough money, I can get the surgery. If I have enough money, I can get the kidney. If I have enough money, I can get something done in my community. Because they will come to me and want my opinion and my smile and my support. You see, the dynamic is that when your world's upended, you begin to realize money's not all that important. Even super purified money. Because what are you going to buy? And how are you going to feel when other people are going down the river, you know, of persecution, and you're standing up there with your good garments and your great car and your great house and your great provisions that you've made for yourself, and you're not in the fight. You're not in the battle. You know, the Bible talks about it, right? It says the gates of hell. God, Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates are where we're on the offensive. We're trying to win people. And we need to not be people up in the palace. That was the undoing of David. He went. But when he sent, he looked over this wall and he saw a woman and he fell. Understand, there's something to glory in here. You greatly rejoice in this salvation. And it says that the trial of your faith and the trials that are here now are getting you to reach for your hope and reach for your salvation. That's what's going to happen. And that's a good thing. That's a worthy thing. And he says, so that it might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now that's what it's all about. We're here to bring glory to Him. We're here to become a moon to His Son. The more we're looking at Him open-faced, the more we shine. That's what Paul said in Philippians. We are luminaries. He's the sun. And when we are walking with Him, we shine brighter. When we shine brighter, we're doing exactly what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, this is the whole point. In fact, he's trying to get us to the point where we realize this is a thing ready to be revealed, and it's something what God, the salvation is ready to be revealed. It's something God wants to be revealed. Look over to chapter 2 real quick in 1 Peter. Verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth. It's ready to be revealed. Your job is to show forth the praises of Him. He goes down in verse 15 of chapter 2, he says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you would put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is the will of God. You say, but I like my comforts. I like my fences. I like my walls. And I'm not talking about a wall in a country. That's just nonsense going on down there. But as an individual, when things are ripped away, taken away piece by piece, dismantled, however it comes, quick, slow, whatever, drip, drip, drip. I mean, it's all hard. You're watching it slip away, but there's a joy in the journey because He joins you on the road to Damascus, or to Emmaus, and to Damascus too, for that matter. There He is, right there with you. Your eyes might be holding, but He's walking with you. This is another verse in that same passage. Verse 19 says, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. The Greek word for thankworthy is not God's thankful for you. Okay, it's not something God's going to say, thank you for doing that. Because, you know, we can't give Him anything. But the word is grace. The Greek word is grace, charis. For this is grace. I don't know what the translators were thinking. The word is grace. He says, for this is grace. Why? We're here to show forth the praises of Him. We're to show people grace. We're to show the rich person who abuses, the government official who abuses. We're to show them the grace of God in us by praying for them, by caring enough not to rise up inadvertently. We have to be careful of how we respond to our world. And He says, and this is grace. And He's telling them, I know you got a bad job down there in some other, you know, Gentile world that you've been thrown into, dispersed, scattered as seed. He says, I know that. But it's grace. They'll see grace when you do things that are hard for you to do, that you suffer wrongfully over, and you still show them. Verse 20 says the same thing. For what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults, and you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well, suffer for it, it says, then you take it patiently. This is acceptable. Same Greek word, grace. This is grace with God. God wants us to show forth the praises of Him. God wants us to show forth the grace of God to the world around us. In the rest of the verse, in verse 7, back in chapter 1, it says, the trial of your faith might be found. He wants it to be found. It says, unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ when He comes. Now, when you kind of parse that, remember this. God wants us to show forth the grace. Romans 1:8 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He's talking to the Romans. He says, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Is your faith spoken of? Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. It's the substance of things hoped for, meaning it's the substrate of everything you're hoping for. Don't throw off your faith. Don't crumble. Don't give up on your faith and say, I quit. I'm going to just give in and do whatever the world does. No, he says, don't do that. He says, because you Hebrews, you've got a conundrum in your mind, he says, but you got to remember, faith is the underpinning of everything you believe in. It's what you were called to. You were the people of God in the Old Testament, and now you're the boots on the ground in the New Testament era. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and this is why it's so important. It's also the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the world is watching. The world's watching you. The world's watching me, if we've named the name of Christ. Ephesians 1:6, that says that we're saved, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what we're saved to. Ephesians 1:12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Okay, everything about your walk, everything about your life is about Jesus being seen. It's what it's supposed to be. You say, yeah, but you know, I got job, work to do, things to do. I know. That's just details. That's why the Bible says, go ye into all the world. And the sense of it is, participially, it says, as you are going, preach the gospel. Wherever you are, as you are going, preach the gospel unto every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe. So you find them, you feed them, and you fold them. You find them, you fold them, and you feed them. That's what you do. You fold them by baptizing them, getting them in church, and then you feed them, teaching them to observe. You see, that's the whole paradigm God gave us. To go find them. That's first order of business. His last command is our first concern. He says that we might be, that our faith might be found under the praise of His glory. In verse 8 it says, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't He optimistic about these people, right? Do you know what He's doing? These guys are struggling. You know, Abraham struggled. But what's really interesting is there were times that Sarah, she had to learn something. And you know what she had to learn? Is that when he was scared, he said, say you're my sister. Okay? Now, let me put this in context. There was no law. Moses wasn't born yet. These people were just doing the best they could. But she did it. Oh yeah, he's my brother. And they were distantly related in that way. But the point is that she saw him struggle. And in 1 Peter, he's going to say, wives, just like, you know, you have to submit, it's hard. But don't be terrified, just keep showing the hidden man of the heart. You do your job, and it'll help him. And I say that because when you're looking at this verse, it says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And these people are not really joyful right now, okay? They've been dispersed. And he's writing to them. He's walking them off the ledge. And he is helping them remember who they are. Don't forget who you are. If you are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, if your citizenship is truly in heaven, do not forget who you are. It says you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I remember C.S. Lewis picked this concept up once. He talked about how that God just seems to keep talking to us in all the most glowing ways, like you do to your pet. Okay. And yet, what's interesting is that if you have a pet, he begins to take on human characteristics. He smiles. He gets sad. He hides. He's ashamed. He's embarrassed. He's talking to you. He says God does that to get you out of the shadows and says, you rejoice with joy. This is what you do because you're my people and that's what my people do. You're my people, right? You're my people. If you're my people, this is what you do. You say, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You're His people, okay? He keeps you by the power of God. So yes, you can.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.